When you walk away from a meeting with a mentor, ask yourself, what can you do for that person that would be unforgettable? That was probably the second biggest takeaway from my lunch with John, and it sounds very, very simple, but executing it is extremely profound, and I know I came away with the determination that every day I'm going to do something to be unforgettable. Well, hey, leader, and welcome to episode number 298 of the L3 Leadership Podcast, where we are obsessed with helping you grow to your maximum potential and to maximize the impact of your leadership. My name is Doug Smith, and I am your host, and today's episode is brought to you by my friends at Bear Tongue Advisors. If you're new to the podcast, welcome. I'm so glad that you're here, and I hope that you'll enjoy our content and become a subscriber. And if you've been listening to us for a while, thank you so much. That means the world to me, and I would love it if you would leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to this podcast through. That really does help us grow our audience and reach more leaders, so thank you in advance for that. Well, in today's episode, you'll hear a replay of a lesson that I recorded 2 years ago called The 10 Lessons That I Learned from My Lunch with John Maxwell. And yes, almost 2 years ago, I had the opportunity and privilege to have lunch with John, and few leaders have had more influence on my life than John, and so it was such an honor and privilege to sit down with him for an hour and learn from him personally and ask him questions. It was beyond a bucket list experience for me, and an experience that I'll never forget, that's for sure. But I truly do believe that anything I get to experience in life, I want to share with you. That's actually why I started this podcast in 2012. I was spending time with leaders a lot on a monthly basis, and my peers started saying to me, you know, Doug, I wish I could spend time with the leaders that you do. And I thought, well, you probably could if you just ask and put some intentionality behind it. But oftentimes they wouldn't. And so I thought, hey, what if I just started recording my conversations with leaders and sharing it for the world to listen? And so that's how I started the podcast. And I don't just believe that about interviews, but I also believe that about experiences and things that I'm learning, which is why I do a personal lesson each month. And so you're going to enjoy this. There was so much, I could have done 100 lessons from the lunch, but I narrowed it down to 10, and you're going to get so much value out of this. But before we dive into my lesson, just a few announcements. This episode of the L3 Leadership Podcast is sponsored by Bear Tongue Advisors. The financial advisors at Bear Tongue Advisors help educate and empower clients to make informed financial decisions. You can find out how Bear Tongue Advisors can help you develop a customized financial plan for your financial future by visiting their website at beartongueadvisors.com. That's B-E-R-A-T-U-N-G advisors.com. Securities and investment products and services offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Bear Tongue Advisors, LPL Financial, and L3 Leadership are separate entities. I also want to thank our sponsor, Henny Jewelers. They're a jeweler owned by my friend and mentor, John Henny. And my wife, Laura, and I got our engagement and wedding rings through Henny Jewelers and just loved our experience. And not only do they have great jewelry, but they also invest in people. In fact, every couple that comes to their store engaged, they give a book to help them prepare for marriage, and we just love that. So if you're in need of a good jeweler, check out HennyJewelers.com. And with all that being said, here's my lesson, 10 lessons I learned on my lunch with John Maxwell. Enjoy. Hey everyone, I am so excited about today's episode. I'm going to be sharing with you the 10 lessons that I learned during my lunch with John Maxwell. For those of you who know me, spending time one-on-one with John has been a dream in my heart for literally over 17 years. He's made such an impact on my life, and so much of who I am today is a result of his teaching and his writing, and the fact that I had the honor to sit at his feet and in front of him, look him in the eye, and thank him for the impact that he's made, and then spend some one-on-one time asking him some questions that I've always wanted to ask him was an absolute gift, and I'm just so grateful that I had that opportunity. And so John was incredible. He far exceeded every expectation I had of him one-on-one, and he added so much value to my life, and I literally just took notes for an hour and a half. It was awesome. And as always, I want to take you on the journey with me, and I couldn't bring you all with me to lunch with John, but I can certainly share with you what he taught me, and so I want to multiply his investment in me by sharing with you what he taught me in our lunch together. And so buckle up, get a pen and paper out, get your notebook ready, and I am just going to walk you through 10 categories that I talked about with John and some of the things that he said that really made a significant difference. And I know that these are going to add value to your life. So let's dive right in. The first subject that John and I talked about was making the jump from pleasing people to leading people. Making the jump from pleasing people to leading people. And this was very important for me to talk to John about because I'm a relational leader, and by nature, I tend to be a people pleaser, and I tend to want to make people happy rather than tell them what they need to hear and to be honest with them and to lead them where they need to go. And that is a jump that I'm making in my leadership journey, and it's a jump that I know that John had to make in his. And so I wanted to see what he learned when he made that jump, and for him to speak into my life what I need to hear to make that jump right now. And here are a few things that he said were really, really helpful. He said, Doug, if you're relational by nature and that's your gifting, you have to realize that your relational gifting will not get you through all the time. Your relational gifting will not get you through all the time. And man, did that hit me, because as a relational leader, I tend to think that my relational gifting can get me through all the time, but it's a reality that it can't. And he said he had a leader very similar on his staff, and he had to sit down with him to help him grow. And he said, listen, the good news is everybody loves you. The bad news is your leadership won't get people where they need to go. And so you need to grow. And I felt like that's exactly what I needed to hear in my journey. He said, Doug, I had to make the decision when I was making that jump. He said, I made the decision that I would always love people, but I would not depend on their love. I'll say that one more time, because out of everything that John said in our time together, I think it's that statement that's going to change the trajectory of my leadership journey. He said, Doug, I made the decision that I would always love people, but I would not depend on their love. And I realized for me that I'm far too dependent on people's love, and that I need to not do that. And I just need to love people where they're at, and I need to lead them. And the most loving thing I can do for them is to lead them. And so he said, Doug, just sit down with those you lead and have upfront expectations set. And he said, just sit across from them and say, I love you. I value you. And as a result, you and I are going to have tough conversations, but it's because I care enough about you to have them. And I just thought that was so good. And so those are a few thoughts that John shared that significantly helped me in making this jump from pleasing people to leading people. The second subject that we talked about was developing your team. And I asked John about developing a team because in reading his books and hearing him speak a lot, it seemed that he really didn't become intentional about developing his team until he was around 40 years old. And so I just wanted to get his insight into that. And he just asked a question that I thought was profound, so I wanted to share it with you. He just said, Doug, you have to ask yourself the question, is your team growing with you or are they way behind you? I'll ask that again because it's such a great question. Is your team growing with you or are they way behind you? And he said, what I had to realize was I can't assume that I know where my people are and that they're growing, but I have to be intentional and develop them. And that sounds really, really simple, but I think if you actually ask yourself that question, that'll tell you everything you need to know about developing your team and whether or not you're doing it. And if you're not doing it, start being intentional and start developing your team. And so those are the thoughts I'll share under that. So good. Make sure you're being intentional. The third subject we talked about was recruiting. I specifically wanted to ask John how he asks leaders to join him and what that process looks like. And he said a few things that were really, really helpful. He said, number one, I don't ask everyone. I don't ask everyone. He said, I made the mistake that in the beginning, I did ask everyone. As a result, I got people on the train that didn't want to be there, and it created all kind of problems. They were high maintenance, and it just didn't go well. And so now what he does is he, and this is the nugget that you need, he said, look for people who are making a difference. Look for people who are making a difference. And he has the saying that I want to make a difference with people who make a difference. And he said, most people you can't make a difference with because they don't know how to make a difference. Man, was that good. Most people you can't make a difference with because they don't know how to make a difference. And so it comes down to attitude and ability. Can they and will they? Can they make a difference and will they make a difference? So don't just try to recruit anyone to your dream. Look for people who are making a difference and know how to make a difference. That was huge. And the last thing he shared, which is so profound, and I've done this ever since I heard him teach on it, is just pray every single day, God, send people to help me. Send people to help me. Send me winners. And John said, trust me, he'll send you thousands. And the beautiful thing about when God sends someone is that you'll know it and they'll know it. You'll know it and they'll know it. And so pray to God for winners and to send people to help you. That was so good. The fourth subject that we talked about was trusting God. And the reason I wanted to talk to him about this is because I'd heard him share the story of when he felt like God called him to have a ministry to leaders. He said he was preaching somewhere on the 4th of July in the 70s, and he felt like God specifically spoke to him that, John, you're going to have a ministry to leaders. And he went home and he told his wife, and he said, I think God's calling me to a ministry with leaders. And his wife said, well, that's great. What are you going to do? And he said, nothing. Nothing. And she said, what do you mean? He goes, well, if it's God, God doesn't need a crowbar. If it's God, God will make it happen. I'm just going to trust him, keep obeying him, and let him do what he wants to do. And when I heard that story, I just wanted to hear how he processes just the call of God on his life and how he trusts God. And he just said this. He said, Doug, God is the source of my purpose, and it's not my work. It's God's work that I'm doing. And so when issues and problems come up, I just say, God, you've got a problem, which I thought was so good. And he said, Doug, let me tell you this. When it comes to God, obedience is only understood on the back end. Obedience is only understood on the back end. And he said, so there's nothing to figure out. He said, so many people will just walk around. They say, what? I need to figure out God's will. I need to figure out God's will. He's like, no, you just need to obey and you'll understand what you're obeying on the back end of the obedience. And so I thought that was so, so, so good. Obedience is only understood on the back end. The fifth subject that we talked about was branding. At least I'll call it branding. And let me give you context for what I asked John so this makes sense. I had heard John tell a leader once that if God wants to make you a name, let him do that. If God wants to make you a name, let him do that. And I said, John, we live in an age where everyone wants to build their own brand. It feels like they have to build their own brand. And can you just speak into that and what you meant by that statement? And he smiled and kind of chuckled and he said, Doug, if you want to humor me, just show me immaturity. And he said, let me talk to you about branding. Here's my thoughts. He said, just get good. Just get good. Because if you're good, your brand will speak for itself. And if you're not good, no brand will help. And so just get good. He just kept saying that over and over again. Just get good. And he said, you have to realize whatever season you're in or wherever you're working, that you're not going to be here in this season and maybe at this organization forever. And so I better get good. And he said, whatever your best is today, Doug, it's not going to be enough for what you need tomorrow. So just get good. And I just thought that was so good. And so listen, if you're listening to this and you're trying to build your own name and your own brand, and we all fall into that trap sometimes, just get good. Just get good. And if you get good, your brand will speak for itself. That was unbelievable. Thank you, John. The sixth subject that we talked about was vision casting and fundraising. I wanted to get his insight into those subjects. And he said, when you're vision casting, set the bar high. He said, when I cast vision to separate people, not to unite them. That was really, really interesting. I cast vision to separate people, not to unite them. He said, if the bar is high and the bar you set is high, the whiners will exit fast. The whiners will exit fast. And he said, you'll know how great your vision is by how many people you lose after you cast it. Really, really interesting. And he said, listen, Doug, you never know you have someone until you ask for commitment. And people say all the time, well, we're brothers. And the reality is you don't know that until it comes time to make a commitment. I thought that was so good. He said, when you're casting vision, the hardest vision to cast is always in the beginning because you have nothing to show. But it gets easier. And after a while, what you're building will speak for itself. And then you can just simply invite people to come with you and see what you've built. But he said, if you're bad, you'll just have to keep talking. So that was really, really good. And he said, when you're casting vision and inviting people in, just always realize that the vision is bigger than you. It's the law of significance. One is too small a number to achieve greatness. And that the bigger the vision is, the bigger the people you attract will be. I just thought those were some great thoughts on vision casting. The seventh subject that we talked about was mentoring. I wanted to cover a lot of ground here. Here are just a few thoughts that were very, very helpful. I had heard him say to a leader once that if you invest in someone and they don't show you an ROI in 6 months, then you invested in the wrong person. And so I said, well, John, if that's true, how do you show an ROI to those mentoring you? And he said, you have to prove that you're growing. And so update them consistently, tell them how you're growing. In fact, he talked about a mentee of his that came back after a meeting they had and said to him, John, here's what you taught me. Here's what I applied. Did I do it right? And can we meet again? John said, as soon as he heard that, he said, absolutely. So you have to prove that you're growing. But then John said, not only that, as your time gets limited, you have to go another step further. So not only do you have to prove that you're growing, but you also have to prove that you have the same vision and values and serve your mentor. And I thought that was really, really good insight. He always said, whatever a mentor gives you, multiply it, multiply it. And that's one of the reasons I'm doing this podcast. I want to multiply what John invested in me. Another principle that John shared when we were talking about mentoring was this. He said, Doug, every day of your life, you need to be unforgettable. every day of your life, you need to be unforgettable, whether it's becoming unforgettable to a mentor that just met with you, whether it's becoming unforgettable to your wife or your husband. He actually said most marriages fail because one spouse stops being unforgettable to their spouse. That was so good. But he just talked about when you walk away from a meeting with a mentor, ask yourself, what can you do for that person that would be unforgettable? That was probably the second biggest takeaway from my lunch with John. And it sounds very, very simple, but executing it is extremely profound. And I know I came away with the determination that every day I'm going to do something to be unforgettable. And the last thing that I talked to John about in the area of mentoring was John every year makes a list of 10 leaders that he serves. And I said, John, you know, I know you make that list. I have a similar list. And I'm just curious, what do you do intentionally to serve those leaders? Like, what do you do for them? And John looked at me and laughed, and he said, Doug, I ask them how I can serve them. And I bust out laughing. I'm like, yep, that makes sense. And he said, listen, I just sit down with him and I said, what can I do for you this year? What's the one thing you want me to focus on that I can help you with them? And he said, let them call the shots. And then he said, it's very, very simple. Help them get what they want. Like Zig Ziglar said, you can get everything you want in life if you just help enough other people get what they want. And he brought up the whole Andy Stanley principle of doing for one what you wish you could do for everyone. And so, leader, I just want to encourage you. Do you have a list of leaders that you serve every year? Make a list of 5 to 10 leaders and reach out to them and say, hey, how can I serve you this year? What's one thing I can do to bless you? And let them call the shots. I think it'll change you, it'll change them, and you'll be better for it. The 8th subject that I talked to John about was creating unforgettable experiences. One thing I love about John is he creates experiences for people that they could never get on their own. And people have an absolute blast when they're with John. They make memories that they never forget. And so I wanted to learn more about how intentional he is about creating unforgettable experiences. And he said a few things that were fun. He said, Doug, most people in life are really boring. Most people in life are boring. And he said, I made a decision very early on in my life that I would commit my life to not being boring. And I encourage you to do the same thing. And he said, the secret to not being boring is to being intentional. The secret to not being boring is to be intentional. And we talked about how every dinner he has a list of 30 questions on his iPhone for dinner topics. And so he'll bring it out and he'll ask a question. And he said one of his favorite questions to ask at a dinner to make it more intentional, to make it more fun, is what is the best advice you've ever received and who gave it to you? What's the best advice you've ever received and who gave it to you? And he said, why I love that question is you're going to get wisdom, but you're also going to get great story. And so more than anything, he said, you just have to be intentional. The secret to not being boring is to be intentional. And that's how you create unforgettable experiences. The 9th subject that I talked to John about was paying the price. Paying the price. I've always wanted to talk to John about this because one of the stories that I've heard him share that's impacted me the most was the story of this young leader who came up to him at a break during a conference and they said, John, I want to do what you do. And John said, what do you mean? And he said, I want to do what you do. I want to sit up in front of hundreds of people who paid hundreds of dollars to be here and I want to speak to them and add value to their life. Like, I want to do what you do. And John smiled and he looked at him and thought maybe it was time for some teaching. And he said, young man, I understand that you want to do what I do. Trust me, I do. It's a great thing. But the question isn't, do you want to do what I do? The question is, do you want to do what I did so you can do what I do? I think that is such a great question. And he talks about whatever it is you want to do, you have to figure out what the price is. And small dreams have small prices and big dreams have big prices. And once you figure out the price, then you have to figure out whether or not you're going to pay the price. And so I just said, John, what are some of the prices that you've had to pay along the way in your journey to be where you are today? And here are a few that he shared with me. He said, Doug, when you're a young leader, the price is often loneliness. Loneliness. He said, often when you're young, you leave your peers, not because they're your peers, but because your peers aren't growing. And that can be lonely. I thought that was really good insight. He said, another price is the price of expectations placed on me. He said, Doug, every day people are hoping that I'll help them. Comes a lot of weight with that. He said, the price of hard decisions. He said, so much of leadership is learning to disappoint people at the level they can take it today. I thought that was really interesting. You have to learn to disappoint people at the level they can take today. He said, the price of handling pressure and responsibility. And I said, you know, how do you handle all that? Is it easy for you to handle today? And he said, Doug, when it comes to handling things, what's easy to handle today, I can promise you, was not easy to handle yesterday. And let me just say this, he said, if it's easy early, it's almost always wrong. Man, was that good. I thought that was extremely profound. What's easy today, what's easy to handle today, was not easy to handle yesterday. And if it's easy early, it's almost always wrong. And the last thing he talked about on paying the price, he said, listen, when you mess up, just admit that you miss it when you miss it. Just admit it. Set people at ease and take the high road. He said, listen, if you're good, it'll show up. If you're bad, it'll always show up. You may fool people today, but not tomorrow. Don't try to fool people. Just admit it when you mess up. Just some great insight under paying the price. The 10th and final subject that John and I talked about was integrity and character. And I said, John, you're 72 years old. You're certainly not at your finish line, but you've run a great race so far. When hundreds of leaders don't make it as far as you've made it, what would you tell me as a young leader that I need to do and focus on in my character development to make sure that I can make it to my finish line? I just wanted to have him speak into that. And he said a few things that were helpful. He said, Doug, go back and read the chapter on integrity and character and developing the leader 2.0, which is a phenomenal book. If you don't have it, order it today and read it. He said, have the courage to admit you don't have it all together and let people in on the front end of character issues. Don't try to hide it and be deceitful. Let people into your life. I thought that was so good. And he said, listen to me. He said, people think that there are less temptations as you grow older, and that's not true. There's not less temptations. They actually increase when you're older. And I thought that was really, really, really profound, because I do think there's this assumption that as I get older, temptations will decrease, but they don't. So hearing that was really, really helpful. And then I asked John, I said, John, when you have a friend that's a leader that falls, how do you love them? And he looked at me and he sighed and he said, Doug, hundreds fall every year. And how I love them is I'm safe. I'm safe. And I'm not going to hurt them. And I'll do my best to help them. I thought that was so good. I'm just safe. I'm safe. And he said, Doug, we as a church need to be more embracing of leaders who fall. He said, we need to focus on how to get people out of their issue, not how we're going to communicate it to the people and fix this. And you certainly need to do that. But we're too quick to move on and not actually love people through their issue. And he said, when I speak to leaders, I ask leaders all the time, how many of you have had a day or two that you don't want anybody to find out about? Everyone raises their hand. And he said, you know what the difference between you and the people that a lot of people are judging right now are? They got caught. They got caught. And he said, so don't get morally smug on me. He said, if you settle that in your own life and realize that you've had bad days too, you've made bad decisions, and you need to repent just as much, if you don't settle that in your own life, you can't help anyone. And I thought that was so good. Leaders, let's do everything we can to grow our character and to grow in integrity so that we can make it to our finish line. When you have friends around you who fall morally, let's be there for them. Let's be a safe place for them. Let's help restore them. Let's pick them back up so that God can use them again one day. And leader, don't ever get to a place where you think that you're not susceptible to falling. It's when you get in those places that you're most susceptible. And so let's let people in on the front end of our character issues. And leaders, let's have the courage to admit that we don't have it all together. You know, more than anything, what I admire about John is he's run a great race. And he's been an example to me as a father figure, a grandfather figure, and as a leader. And I'm so grateful, not just for what he teaches, but for who he is. And that was probably my greatest takeaway from my lunch with him, is just being in his presence and realizing who he is and who he's become as a result of his pursuit of God and God's purpose for his life. And so there you have it, 10 lessons that I learned in my lunch with John Maxwell. I hope they added value to your life. I know they certainly did to me. It'll be a lunch that I never forget. Well, hey, leader, thank you so much for listening to the lessons that I learned in my lunch with John Maxwell. I hope that it added value to your life. And you can find links to anything that I mentioned in the show notes at l3leadership.org/298. And leader, the new year is right around the corner. And if you want to 10x your growth this year, I really want to challenge you to either launch or join an L3 Leadership Mastermind Group. Mastermind Groups have been the greatest source of growth in my life over the last 6 years. And if you're unfamiliar with what they are, they're just simply groups of 6 to 12 leaders that meet together on a consistent basis for at least 1 year in order to help each other grow, achieve their goals, and to do life together. So if you're interested in learning more, go to l3leadership.org/masterminds. And as always, I like to end every episode with a quote, and I'll quote John Maxwell himself on this one. He said this, and I just love this. If you wouldn't follow yourself, why should anyone else? Great question in leadership. I hope that this episode encouraged you. I hope it inspired you. And I want you to know that Lauren, I love you. We believe in you. And I want to encourage you, leader, keep leading, keep making a difference. Do not quit. The world desperately needs your leadership. We'll talk to you next episode.